Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Amen.
Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And we all together said,
Amen.
Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Great power in the words of God. Things that lift us up and encourage us and help us to maintain a life that we should, that is, a life that follows the Christ. That is our goal, of course, in life, is following our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to add a scripture today in honor of our good friend Tom Jones. One of his favorite passages, not by any chance the only ones he has, because we all know he had plenty, but he loved Micah 6 and verse 8. And he has showed the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And we all said, Amen. Our lesson today, I hope, is in keeping with where we've been going the last two or three Lord's days, is pursuing God's will. And of course, I mean that independently. That is, that we think about this as a personal thing, but not so much to the extent that I want to say that we want to exclude the people that are around us. As a matter of fact, Bob, the real idea of pursuing God's will is so that we will be of some effect or influence on the people around us. Because that's what Jesus is hoping that we'll be, and what we would do in our lives, that is to affect the folks that are close to us. Whether that is your family member, that is your children, or whether it is your neighbor, or maybe some fellow worker, or someone that you're involved with. And I hope that you'll be encouraged by these words as we will pursue them. In 1 Thessalonians, we have these words from the Apostle Paul. And we urge you, and this is coming in a statement, so I hope you'll understand that. And you should read the previous verses to really get the full context. That'll help you. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, and encourage the disheartened. I think the King James uses faint-hearted or something of that nature, but those, of course, who need to be uplifted. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. What is it we often say? It's always right to do the right thing. Remember that, congregation. Who do you trust? Oh, you've already slept too many times, huh, since last week. We trust in the name of our Lord our God. Who do you trust? That's what I wanted to hear. Rejoice. Preacher's rejoicing now. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And give, David, thanks, as he taught our young people today. Thank you for Jesus of Christ, of course. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it can't really be any simpler than that. I mean, it's pretty plain what is being said. In fact, I have the urge to just leave that passage there and just go word by word of all the great things that he's urging the people at Thessalonica to do. But he's talking about a daily life. He's talking about their congregational life. He's talking about their individual lives so that everyone will flow together, that is, come together in a great opportunity of encouragement. That's what our goal is, being together, is understanding the things that the Bible says. And the Bible contains many clear commands for us to follow that are like the one we just read. This is the will of God that you would do. I think that was one of the reasons Tom loved Micah 6, because it was so specific about telling the person about what was good. Here's what's good: to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Those are simple things. Those are things that we can get. You don't need a degree. You don't need a lot of preaching about that. You just need encouragement to continue to do those things every day or each day of your life. To remember that that's what influences other people. I've selected a few. Here are a few that refer specifically to the doing of God's will. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and at verse 3, the writer here, Paul, encourages us by saying it is God's will that you be sanctified. Now that might be a word that some really don't get a hold of or grasp. Literally, it means to be set apart. And to put it in the context of what it's supposed to mean, it means to be like God. Or, in our case, we want to be like Christ. We want to live like the Christ. And to be influenced in such a way. You know, what is God's will for me? That I will be set apart. I won't be like everybody else that everyone runs into out on the street. I will be different. I will be different in a good way, in a way that influences them to know God's will. It's God's will that we be sanctified and set apart, that we might become more like Jesus each and every day, in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. But you know the great thing about it is that he doesn't expect me, Wes, to do it all on my own. I mean completely on my own. What he's done for us is he has promised that he will be with us if we will let him. He will help us each and every day and encourage us to do these things for ourselves. For it is God who works in you to will and to act out in accordance to the fulfillment of his purpose. In Romans 8 and 28, I know you know this verse, we learn that all things work together for the good. For who? For those who are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're seeking God, you're looking for God, he's telling us that he's helping us find him. He's telling us he will encourage us every day by lifting us up and helping us to be that kind of good person. Paul writes in the book of Philippians, for that it is God's will who works in us, and he works in you, both to the will and to the betterment of his own pleasure. God's own pleasure. Philippians 2 and verse 13. As we were reading over here earlier in 1 Thessalonians, that's latter part of our reading said, be joyful always. and pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Did you hear that one? Give thanks in all circumstances. Does your life get so rattled and so confused and so busy and out of alignment that, man, it just is tough to say, well, thanks God for messing things up today. Well, maybe it was you that messed it up. But things can be hectic, can't they? Yeah, life gets tedious, as they say. Life causes us these difficulties. God wants His children to be joyful and thankful and prayerful, and even says that we might count it all joy when we fall into these manifold temptations or divers temptations, as the writer would say to us. Even when the outward circumstances seem as though things might be impossible. Sometimes suffering is hard for us to bear. I've thought about that a lot. In fact, I've tried to study a number of things. But I really firmly believe that God uses suffering to call us into the peace of His presence. That He brings us to His place where we really need to be already anyway. And sometimes that's hard for us to come and do that. And if God could not use pain and suffering for our good, I don't believe that He would allow such things to take place in our life. Now, I just imagine you sitting over there, Stephanie, you've got a few aches and pains, unless you probably drugged up a little. Bobby had a little surgery done. If you grab him on his right arm, he might slap you down because he'll have some hurts there. Years ago, I went over the side of an embankment and hung for several hours before someone rescued me. Interesting thing about that. The only thing I can remember is that it happened. Any of you the same way? You know, if you had some of those occasions in your life when things were bad, but you really can't call up the pain, can you? You just remember it was a painful circumstance. But God is a marvelous God who helps us to block out the actual pain. That's what Jesus does for you in your sin. Can I get an amen? That's what seeking the will of God does for us when we recognize how great it is that God can take care of us. When you were growing up, did you ever take any of those medicines that wound up being worse than the sickness? How many of you ever heard of black droth? Huh? You know what? I don't know if any of you know that black droth is a large animal laxative. Doesn't that sound great? My mother gave it as though it was intended for someone like me. I'm not sure, I can't remember enough, whether it was some kind of measured dose that she got from someone that made it safe. It didn't kill me, I just thought it was going to. And what it did to me was not nearly as bad as how it tastes. How many of you remember any of those things that your parents may have given you that just were worse maybe than what you were suffering? 3/6 was another, if anybody ever had that for a cough. Ooh, that'll cure a cough in a big way. In fact, it'll probably put you out for about 12 hours. If you cough during that time, you won't know it. That's the only thing you might be able to remember. It is God's will that by doing good things, you will silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Go in your Bible. You can go on while I'm talking about something else. You can go in your Bible and look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 15 and color that in or whatever, so that you can understand the message and the will of God. There are many things here that are just so important to us. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, I want to read this little section of scripture to you that I think so important in this pursuit of God's will. If you come down and begin, you can read the whole chapter later, but if you'll come down to verses 5, or 15, chapter 5 of Ephesians 5, go down to verse 15 and just read down for a little ways with me. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That means wise. Let's change this version here because that's the old King James. Okay, my electronics are not working for me. I'll read it from this anyway. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding." Listen to this. "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." A submission, one to another, and into God, so that we might come into an understanding of the will of God. How important is that as we live a daily life? In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the earlier verses, 8 and 9, it says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and all truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." What pleases the Lord? Isn't that what's most important in our life? The things that please the Lord. There's always going to be critics. But only by our good actions, 1 Peter 2 and 15, can we prove their words to be false. You see, people want to see a sermon long before they want to hear one. Not too big an amen, okay? We preachers take that sensitively. No, that's all seriousness, isn't it? People want to see something happening to them. And how do you help influence other people? By doing good. By pursuing what you know the will of God is. By sharing that. Only by our good actions do we prove the words to be false, as they have ignorant talk about us. Doing what is good is the best way to please God, in order that we might stop those who run their lips, if you will. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, that you will receive what it is that is promised. That's the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and at verse 36, as he says to us, these marvelous things. God wants us to keep going, and He offers a great reward to those who don't give up. And if there's anything that I've tried to do in my preaching life, is to try to at least, even if there were times when there needed to be some things said that were not always received good, we all want to remember that God makes good on His promises, and He wants us to keep going. He wants us to not give up. He wants us to not throw in the towel. And that's the way I feel. That's the way you feel sometimes. Let's just throw the towel in. But don't do that. God wants to help you get there. He wants to give us the reward. He wants all people everywhere to be saved. Even when life itself is just not fair. Life is hard. Life is hard. Life is not always fair. You probably know Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season. We're going to reap if we faint not. And then therefore, as we have opportunity, what are we going to do? We're going to do good. Yeah, we're going to do good. We're going to do good unto all people. But we want to do good especially unto those of the household of faith. I know that we get on each other's nerves. I know that there are things that don't always run smoothly or the way we're hoping that they would have. But remember, as Bill was telling us about the idea of us fellowshipping together this morning, is that we share in common the blood of Jesus Christ. If nothing else, we share in the salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ. That ought to make us strong. That ought to make us smile. That ought to give us encouragement enough to leave and to go out there and then have a great week trying to influence somebody else. To know the will of God. I'm going to end up today's lesson on a really positive note. I want to say a few of these things to you. I want to say some things that God says to you when you read His book. What does God have to say about you? I think about it more about me because I'm selfish. I'm reading it for me. But what does God do for you? What does God say about you? If you read His book, you will find out that you are chosen. You are chosen, according to Colossians 3 and verse 12. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that we should be called what? The children of God. Is there anything any greater than that, Susan? To be God's child. What does He say about you? Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon you that you could be called His child. I'm forgiven by Him. God forgives me of my sin. You read 1 John chapter 1, you will find some encouraging things that tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from your sin. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, what, brethren? He is just and able and righteous to forgive us of our sin. That's what God says about you. He says, yeah, you're a sinner, but you can find forgiveness. And because of that, I find myself at peace with who I am and with who God is. Jesus would say to His disciples in the 14th chapter of John, verse 27, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Now, I don't really know if I can grasp anywhere in the English language a word that might just help us understand better what it was that when Jesus prayed in the garden, knowing what was in front of Him, knowing what was about to take place, that He could find a peace with His Father about doing what He did for us. I don't know if that's possible. I only know that He promised you and His disciples and those who follow Him that His peace is ours to enjoy. My peace, the one that He has, being the children or the child of God. You know, Jesus came into His own and His own didn't even receive Him, right? First chapter of the book of John, I think down there around 10 or 11, 12 or something like that. Came into His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. For those of us who find ourselves in Jesus Christ, do not leave here today feeling downtrodden for any reason. If Christ is in you, you have life. You are His child. And yes, you are the creative work of art that He intends for you to be. And you can be glad and you can be grateful for that because He says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You were created in the Lord Christ. Paul would say it like this, that we are new creatures. If anybody is in Christ, they are a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Romans 6 verses 5 through 7 say we are the children of God. When he writes to the Philippian brethren in chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, you are citizens of heaven. Man, how wonderful is that? We are citizens of the heavenly place. Or I'm a child of light. Remember when that scripture I just mentioned to you, Ephesians 5, you were once darkness, but now you are the children of light. And what do? Well, we pursue finding out what pleases God. That's what we do. That's why we're in pursuit of His will. The whole idea of it. That we would want to do what God wants us to do as children of God. We are a chosen race or a chosen generation, I think the King James uses over in the book of Peter, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, as he's describing to his writers who they are to be, that they are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. A peculiar people. No, not peculiar, strange, but they are people of God. Especially people of God. And reconciled, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, that is brought back to God so we can be Him like ambassadors, that we can go forth and tell others about it. Out in our auditorium on the other side, we have that great verse in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that is up on the board or up back on the wall that says, we cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We give our troubles to the Lord. Who do you trust? Oh, I caught you a little sleepy, didn't I? I'm sorry. That's all right. You're doing good. We trust in the Lord our God. We don't trust in horses or chariots. We trust in the Lord of God. We don't need the armies or we don't need these vast nations. We trust in the Lord our God to deliver us. He's on my side. He's for you. He works in your life. And He prepares the life to come that you are going to enjoy. That is who our God is. All things work together for good in Him. And God is preparing those things for us. You believed in God, believe also in me, says Jesus to His disciples. That's who we are, isn't it? We believe He left, and we believe He's coming again. And we believe He's bringing His reward with Him. Amen? I love you. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And I hope in your pursuit of the will of God, you will not only remember these verses that talk about pursuing His will, but that you will remember these verses that talk about what God has chosen to do for you. If God be for us, who will be against us? And we all know the answer to that, don't we? No one. No one can be against us. Nothing that we cannot accomplish in Him, in His name, for His will. If you're here today, you're not in Christ, let's make that right now. So you can be in Him, buried in the waters of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. So we can go through this life together.